Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lead First, Lead Second. This is the podcast where the spiritual pursuit meets our leadership development. We know that the best leaders, they don't start with strategy. They start with surrender. And when you're led by Christ first, you're going to lead others with greater clarity, purpose, and impact. Now, each and every one of these episodes is designed to help you grow, not just in your leadership skills, but in your character and your conviction and your calling. So today, we're going to dive into the idea of what it means to make sure that when we're welcoming new people into our sphere, we kind of have our mindset straight, not just with a few tips and pointers, but even with mindsets. Today, I'm sitting here once again with Pastor Nate Rail. He's been leading groups and adult ministries and different, all kinds of different ministries now for, well, you've been a pastor, what, now 20 years?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It started as a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I knew it was about that because we're about the same timeline. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I'm just hitting 20
years.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe. It's really hard to believe that.
It's crazy hard to believe. But in particular, he's been involved in this stuff for a long, long time. So I'm glad to sit down with him again. And just as a reminder, this conversation will be helpful to anyone that's trying to get some momentum with a group of people. So whether that's something you're starting at your workplace or whether that's something that you're diving directly into ministry, whatever it might be, but we're also in a season as we record this where our church campus is launching into the Rooted Initiative and starting all kinds of groups to help people get connected into that. So we'll kind of use that as an example as we learn some principles on what it means to kind of help people feel connected and how as leaders we can kind of make sure that happens. Now, Nate, one of the questions that came up as we kind of get things started this week is like, what happens if I have a larger group of people? Because I think most of, if not all of our leaders know that one of the kind of the bread and butter of a group experience is people's opportunity to share when they want to have a voice, to be heard and all those kind of things. But if you got 19, 20 people in a room, unless you're meeting for 3 hours, it's hard to get to everybody.
For sure.
And
for
so, sure. What are some ways that you've seen, are helpful when you're leading a group like that to like kind of still help people feel connected, even though it's a little bit larger?
Yeah. How about I just throw out some different stuff and then we can talk about it.
So,
just a couple of tips, maybe some advice. I do think as a leader, expect people to come early.
Yep.
Look for one or two or three people that might show up 15 or 20 minutes before everybody else. I always try to challenge myself personally when I'm leading a group. If I can have a 2 or 3 or 4 minute conversation with somebody before the group even starts, I can make a connection.
Yes.
If somebody lingers afterwards, I can make another connection. And so if you're leading with a couple or a co-leader, you could actually have 4 meaningful connections the first week. But if you could get 2 meaningful connections before and after,
yep,
you could have 8 meaningful connections before. So if you had a group of 20, you know, by the second week, it's possible you could really do that. Just again, that doesn't involve kind of like the traditional sit down conversation in the living room or around the table, right? I think one thing, Joe, you and I were talking about before is just this idea of what would it look like to break the room if it's a 20, 25? How do you break that into a smaller, maybe smaller subgroups?
Yep.
Maybe that's a way that you could give some direction, plan that ahead of time. Maybe there's a question that makes sense where you could say, hey, why don't you guys break up into groups of 3 or 4, process this, talk about it. If you haven't met each other, say hi, right? You're really trying to facilitate that more personal.
Yep.
So I think that's a great opportunity. I don't know if you got anything else you want to share on that specifically.
Yeah, I just think, actually, a friend of mine, Tyler, he was amazing at this. And so I remember, 7 years ago or so, I was leading a small group here at the church and he was in it. And by nature of who I am, I talk a lot. It's actually hard for me to remember to do what we're talking about right now. I've gotten, I think, better at it over the years, but it was just easy for me to hear all the things I think. Well, I would have Tyler sub in every once in a while just because I was coming in late or I was out of town. And everybody, every time he would lead, like, oh, he would like always like help foster these conversations and get people going. And I found out that this is the strategy that he did almost every time he led at my group.
Makes sense, yeah.
And so what it does is it energizes people because subconsciously they're learning that they're processing, that they're getting connected, and that they have something valuable to say too. It's not just, does the really smart leader, which is probably the way they're categorizing you,
right,
have the right things to share and teach? And then bonus, it takes the pressure off of you because you don't need to be the genius in the room. You're right. Facilitating community. Maybe you've picked up on the fact or not. We've actually more often than not referred to our rooted group leaders as facilitators for that exact reason, that you can facilitate these dialogues.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's brilliant. I think it's a way to engage the room differently. Ask a great question. Let the room carry that as far as they want to carry it.
Yeah.
You know, I think another thing that you could do is identify maybe a few people that are good with group dynamics as well, and ask them to help with some of owning the social conversations before and after. Kind of prep them ahead of time. Hey, I'm going to throw this out.
Yep.
Grab this, lead this. So I do think those are great things. Another idea I had was there's not everything has to happen in the small group meeting of your 1 hour or 75 minutes or hour or 90 minute group. So think about creative ways that you can build some community and conversation outside of the group. You yourself, maybe again, like there's some people that are a little bit further along. If it's on their mind that they could invite someone to breakfast, if it's on their mind as they get to know someone a week or two, like ask people for some phone numbers, build some connection. Texting people outside of the group time is a great way to do that. And so people feel connected when you're together in the small group space, but they also feel starting to build that connection outside of it. So this is another tip, you know, kind of some advice, some small group dynamics there.
It's especially not only a way to connect with them if you have a larger group, but it's also a way to help them feel seen and known. Because like when they're at your quote unquote group, I think in their mind, you have to be on. It's the rest of the week that it tends to be a surprise or like, oh, you did randomly think of me. You do care.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. You don't have to overdo it. Just know how valuable it is to like, I mean, you think about how special it is when someone that you know and respect reaches out to you.
Right.
Hopefully your coaches are doing that periodically throughout this season. Like it means the world to them. Now don't overload them. Don't give them a bunch of information. Just, hey, just checking in. How are things going? You doing all right? Like you want to grab coffee sometime during these couple of weeks? Like allow them to feel invited in. That's what breaks down those stereotypes of cliques or hard to get connected is when the leaders make it an intentional approach to like, no, I actually want you to feel connected.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said. I think people are, maybe you could say this, trying to feel out the room.
Yeah.
Some people might be coming a little nervous. Some people like, we're asking like, is this a safe place? How do I fit in? What's the leader like? I've never met him.
Right.
I know one person or I don't know anyone. Sometimes the first couple of weeks, the person that is often the most insightful might not say much at all.
Yes.
So you feel like they're not connected, but they're connected. Other people go into a small group and they actually really enjoy hearing other people talk about things. Mm-hmm. And so even though they don't say something, it doesn't mean that they're not tracking, processing, engaged in part of the experience. And right. So you have to be careful to, I think, make assumptions about people and give it some time and just know that everybody's coming in trying to work that out. If you're a larger group, it might take a little bit longer to get a feel for that and for people to get a feel of where it's at. But, you know, be consistent, give vision, share where you're going, be open, celebrate the journey and the discovery. And I think With another thing you might just want to be aware of is if it is a larger group, people may not be able to share as much, but if the people that want to share and feel comfortable sharing are able to share something and it's meaningful, that's a great start. And so just encouraging some of the larger groups, if it's larger, naturally, it may take a little bit longer for some people to break the ice and share. Yeah. It's totally fine. It's not a big deal, you know?
Another tip I learned along those ways to help some of those that are a little bit quieter is give them time to process.
Yeah.
There are some folks, and I kind of tend to be one of these people, so I try to apologize when I realize I did it. I can be the true definition of quick-witted. I have something on the tip of my tongue almost all the time.
We're opposite,
and,
Joe.
Yeah. And so like, there are other people like, I need to like chew on that. I need to process that. Give them time to do it.
Yeah.
And so like sometimes in my group experiences, what I'll do now is I'll tell people like, hey, see this question in your book. I want you to write down for just 2 minutes the top three things that come to your mind as you read that passage? Or what's something that you didn't understand last week that maybe you have a better grasp on this week? Whatever it might be, give them a leading question. Give them 2 to 4 minutes to process it. Let everybody kind of have that slow time to stay still. What that's going to do is it's going to give your quiet people the time to process it, and then it's going to give them more confidence that I already know what I want to say because I already wrote it down.
Yeah, that's really good.
And so it really helps them have the kind of the fortitude to say, I will speak up
this group. I love that. That's good. So, yeah, large groups are, they are what they are, right?
Yeah.
And make the most of them. They also have an energy to them.
They do have a buzz, yep.
That is, you don't always get when you have a smaller group. And so, I know there's no right or wrong group. There's no perfect size. We're praying for all of our facilitators that God will give them direction and discernment. And I think if you come in with this mindset of be looking for some of these things, be open, don't overthink it, don't stress yourself out. And week to week, you'll pick up a cadence, you'll pick up your room, and the people will kind of settle into that rhythm with you.
I think when I think of some of the people that have been in community with me before, matter of fact, I think of a good friend of mine who he told me one time, Joe, the first X amount of times that I saw you, got to know you, whatever. He goes, I honestly didn't like you very much. And it's funny, I was telling this before we got started. My producer was like, really? You seem to be so likable. I'm like, I don't know. This guy just didn't like me very much up front. But then he and I became actually very, very close over the years. And we've become very good friends probably in the last 10 to 12 years now. And so the reason I'm bringing that up is because not everybody clicks right away, and that doesn't mean it's not a good fit.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. And so you might have someone come to your group where you or they are like, I don't know. And I want to encourage you that if it's on you, press through it. Mandy and I have both had those people even in our groups where we're like, oh, they're at our group. And the first month it's like, this is rough. Mm. And then on the back end, they end up being some of the most solid, wonderful people that we've had in our group.
Yeah.
You just can't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. First impressions are important, but they are not everything.
Yep.
Don't allow yourself to be kind of duped by a bad first impression. And then if it's on their end, just do everything you can to encourage them. I think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, that to all men, he became all things, so that by the grace of God, that some might be saved. Now, in many cases, if they're jumping into your group, not all, but in many cases, they won't need saved, but they do need and crave community. So if you can figure out, how can I connect with you? That will go a long, long way. Listen to them. Hear why they are the way that they are. Don't assume. Maybe that's that cup of coffee you can grab with them. But begin to experience a little bit of what makes them tick. We had a person in our group one time that they had felt kind of burnt by a previous group leader at a totally different church. And they eventually confessed, was like, we're shocked at how much of that we carried into your household. It wasn't you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even Grace Church. Mm-hmm. But we were defensive. And so when you learn those things, you're like, oh, well, that makes total sense why you've been a jerk. No. But, that makes more and more sense as to why you ask the things that you ask or why you've been a little bit more standoffish here or there. Just don't allow those first impressions to rule. They can inform, but don't let them rule.
Yeah, that's really good. Great insight. Trying to think if there's anything else on my mind.
No, I think that we're just really trying to help you realize that some of the hiccups that come along the way are normal. Size, big groups, small groups, they all come with their challenges. They all come with their wins. People are coming in with all different personalities. As the facilitator, as their leader, that's actually part of your job to help crack that nut to make sure that they can feel connected. And then again, just to kind of wrap things up, and then just because someone feels like they don't feel that connected doesn't mean that they won't in the long run. That's a part of what building community means. My wife and I think from what she's told me recently and how I feel, we have a great and a strong relationship. But when we first met, I knew she was the one. She did not reciprocate. It took a few months to convince her otherwise. And now she would say, of course you're my husband. Of course you're the one I want to be married to, et cetera. In all relationships, it doesn't just because it didn't click right away. So fight for it, build it, run for it, encourage them. And I'll be really excited to see what you can see happen in 10 weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Been a great conversation. I think one of the probably last thing I would add is along the lines of even this week in my Bible study, we had about 14 guys and it's pretty normal. And the co-leader was leading it. And I didn't say anything until 50 minutes into the group, because what I was going to say was already said by somebody else.
Yep.
And to your point, it's like, I think sometimes we might feel in a larger group, like we need to say a lot because we're the facilitator or we're the leader. In a larger group, there's a really good chance you just let the conversation go where it's going to go if it's kind of in line with kind of the trajectory of, you know, and sometimes you have to kind of bring that back or redirect it. But just as encouragement, I was thinking this is probably the last thing on my mind was if it is a larger group and there's a lot of people, it's a really good chance that what you are going to say might already be said.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing.
Yes, it is.
And so we as a leader, sometimes we have to let not feel the pressure to, like, we have to say something when someone else's voice might have already made the point. And that's great. And so that's kind of been my last thing.
I love
that. Final encouragement. Yeah.
Yeah. God's word says it all. This resource of Rooted is if they're doing the devotionals, they're getting the information. As you said, people in the group are going to share how they're processing it. Like, you may not have to talk very much.
Right.
And that might drive some of you nuts, and that might really encourage others of you, but just allow community to be community.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's really good.
It's good stuff. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I thank you guys for jumping in with us today, whether you're a leader that's just looking for help or whether you're right in the middle of this Rooted thing. We want to continue to encourage you to be led first and then lead second. Let Jesus pour into you. Let this process be amazing for you. And as you consider how God is using you, allow that then just to be an overflow as you connect with these folks for a greater purpose that's rooted in your relationship with Christ. If you found today's episode helpful, make sure you ask your friends to listen to it as they're maybe doing some of the same things you are. You're certainly welcome to like leave a review, share it with someone that's growing in their own leadership journey. But wherever you're at in your leadership kind of escapade, we are excited to have you. So until next time, keep leading, but always follow first.
All right. Catch you next time.